This is Josh.
This is Mandy, and you're listening to the Oregon Transition Podcast.
Brought to you by the TTAN, the Transition Technical Assistance Network, and partners across the state.
From rural to urban, from your living room to your classroom, from your community to your employer, we are here to tell the stories that shift the perception of what is impossible to possible through inspiration, education, and community connection.
Oregon, this is your story. Welcome to the Oregon Transition Podcast, Season 5.
This is Lon with Oregon Transition Podcast, and we're here at the Oregon Transition Conference, statewide conference in Eugene, Oregon. Brad Butler, the second, was our keynote this morning. He's an author and a speaker, a motivator, and I'm interested that he also coaches speakers. That was pretty cool when I heard that this morning. So he's the CEO and founder of Brad Butler II and Associates, LLC. So welcome, Brad.
Oh, thank you. Listen, I am more than happy and honored to be here with you.
So tell us a little bit about your background, and we are a transition podcast, so we're always looking for nuggets of wisdom for people that are working with youth and helping them overcome barriers and get into employment. So I know you have your own story, but then you also probably have, I know that you're working with youth and doing programs, and maybe you can, I'm just going to turn it over to you to share the things that are hot in your heart, in your mind right now. So go for it.
So just to give you guys some context about me, and you know, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version of it. If you want to see the whole story, then you guys are kind of going to have to be at the next conference so you can hear the whole story. But for me, I spent 10 years in special ed classes. And, you know, I struggled with that, you know, having my IEP and not understanding the way that I learned. And the transition for me happened after I graduated from high school. And I had that moment where I needed to make a decision on whether I was going to just go directly into the workforce. Was I going to do a trade school, or was I going to give college a try? And I decided that going to college was the best option for me because I believed that I could do it. Right? So before anybody else believed in me, I believed in myself. But the transition part of it happened when I realized I couldn't do it alone. I needed the help from the community, from the people, from my family, from experts who work in the field of helping students transition from one phase of their life to the next. So that's why the Transition Conference means so much to me, because I remember being in that space where I would have been lost, like kind of just in that void, where it's like I did not know what my life was going to be or what I was going to become had it not been for the individuals from Mercer County Community College and the EOF program and things like that that helped me to transition into the college atmosphere in a seamless space. And that's kind of, you know, catapulted me into where I am now with, you know, having my master's degree, you know, making me feel like it was possible for me to do more. So, you know, starting my business and speaking around the country at schools and universities and corporations and things like that. And then ultimately going back to the schools and, you know, putting together a curriculum for them, which is called the HOPE program. The HOPE mentoring program. So it's a 10-week program that we have, 10-week curriculum where we go in and we teach leadership skills. And it's based around just helping the students to understand that they are capable of doing more. And in order for you to achieve more, you have to want more for yourself first.
Very nice. So what state are you in where you grew up?
I am currently in New Jersey.
Okay. And is that where you grew up?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So what were the challenges that you faced living where you lived back when you were a youth and in the special ed classes and you were struggling to figure out what you wanted? What were the neighborhood, the city, the community, the barriers that you had around you?
Yeah, so I was born in Jersey City. So, you know, being in that community, you know, it's a little rough, you know, got the urban communities and all that stuff like that. There's, you know, there's drugs all over the place. You got gang members, you got drug dealers and different things like that. My mother and my father, they were, you know, deep into the drug game for a while. And then they got themselves out of it. And, you know, then it turned into a issue when they tried to do the 9-to-5 route because they were used to making so much money doing it the illegal way. And now they're doing it the positive way, and it caused some stress. And unfortunately, my mother and my father, they became victims of heroin. And they became heroin addicts. They heroin addicts, and then they dealt with that for years. And then they figured out along the way that, you know, they got themselves in that situation. They had to be the ones to get themselves out of it. So they made a decision and a pact between each other that they were going to find a way to, you know, get free from it and kick their addictions. My father did cold turkey. My mom decided that she was going to go to the meetings, like 12-step programs, and they were able to beat their addiction. And, you know, thankfully to this day, they've never touched a drug again, and they're still alive and well. I was around 8 years old when my parents decided to separate, you know, in Jersey City, and I moved from Jersey City with my father to the suburbs of East Windsor. When I got to the area, that's when the kind of culture shock happened, and I ended up in special ed classes, and that's what led to, you know, what I was telling you about my story with being in special ed classes and the mental warfare that I was dealing with, you know, constantly feeling I was capable of doing more, but being told something different. So when you're a student, when you're a child, you believe what you're told. So if someone tells you you're not capable of reading, writing, basic mathematics, or comprehension, if you're not capable of, you know, being able to get these soft skills down, then you believe it, and you start really feeling like, okay, college is not for me, or, you know, I was forgotten about when it comes to my gift of understanding and learning. Like, the gift of learning is something that I was not given. And I think there's so many people who, they look at their lives and their abilities, their skills, and they don't realize that the ability to learn things, to retain information, that's a gift. And for a long time, I felt like I did not have it. And it was just the fact that I did not know my learning style. I didn't know what worked best for me. And once I learned my learning style, I held on to it and started just gravitating and grabbing onto every piece of thing that I could as far as trying to retain information and learn information, because now I knew how to hold on to it. So, yeah, that in a nutshell was, you know, the kind of go-through that I had to deal with, is just kind of trying to figure it out, to basically finding myself in the process.
So your curriculum, you call it HOPE, the HOPE?
The program, Hope Mentorship Program.
Mentorship Program. So have you got elements of that built into how you work with the students to help them discover their own unique learning styles? And can you talk about the program and what you offer?
Yeah, it's mainly about leadership skills, you know, creating the next generation of leaders, you know, having these students put themselves in a situation where they're able to think for themselves, you know, and still be respectful. Like, something that my mother always told me when I was younger, she said, Brad, you can ask me whatever question you want, just be respectful when you ask it. I was like, okay, Mom, no problem. I got you. We're clear on that. So the same thing with the students, because I don't want the students to feel like they can't question things, they can't ask questions, they can't wonder about different things because they're worried about getting in trouble. They're worried about thinking that they'll be viewed as being disrespectful. No, you might have leadership skills, leadership qualities, and you legitimately want to know. Like, you just want to know, how does this work? How do you do this? Like, why is it done this way? Has it always been this way? Is it possible for things to change, right? And then also learning the verbiage, the language that's necessary in order for you to move forward, right? The behaviors that are necessary, the attitude that's necessary to move forward. Creating a culture, a positive culture in a school atmosphere. So now it's helping these students to move in purpose, and they're not doing things just because they're told to do it. We're connecting their education with their dreams, so now it makes sense to them. Now they want to do math. Now you want to read. Now you want to write, right? Because if I'm connecting your education with the dreams, the goals and aspirations that you have, why wouldn't you want to do it? Because that's the road to getting it, right? So in doing so, now these kids, they're excited about education. They're excited about where education can take them. So maybe it's not going to college. It's okay. Maybe it's a trade school. That's okay. Maybe it's going directly into the workforce. That is okay. As long as it ties into your dreams and what you want to do and how you want your life to look. And you don't look back on it and say, I wish I'd done things differently. I wish I hadn't listened to other people. Like, this was my dream and I went in a completely different direction because of what I was told. No, like, I'm that guy who's always going to say, you got a dream, let's go find out a way to get it done. But what we got to do is we have to get these soft skills together. We got to get the reading, writing, basic mathematics, and comprehension down so that you can apply it to the goals and dreams that you have.
So you were saying something this afternoon I want you to speak to here. and I don't want to give it away, but do you remember what you were telling me about? You had something that was a huge gift to kids if they could figure something out. Do you remember what you were telling me? It was a program where if they developed plan.
So that's another one of my programs, right? So another program that I have is called the Young CEO Academy. So within that program, I'm working with the students for about 10 to 12 weeks. And each week, we're working on different aspects of business because I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a full-time entrepreneur. And so I'm reverse engineering my success for those students. So I'm like, whatever dream it is, whatever goal it is that you have as far as a business, let's talk about it. And let's put that thing together so that you know you have to get your LLC, your EIN number, your business account. You got to save some of the money for taxes, right? You have to invest some money into marketing and advertising and different aspects of your business. Is there going to be payroll, right? You have to invest in like graphic design, different things like that that you need for your business to run properly. And from there, if they do everything that I'm asking them to do, right? So we're talking about websites, we're talking about vision boards, all that stuff. If you do everything that I ask you to do, when it gets all the way to the end of the program, you'll have a shirt that you get, right, for the students. They have a certificate of completion that they get as well. And then for that select few of students who actually do everything, they finish every assignment that I give them, I actually pay for their LLCs.
Very cool.
So 14-year-old kids walking around with the money for their LLC, whereas you got some adults who are out here who are like, act like they can't make Google work for them, you know, and find out, you know, and it doesn't cost an arm and a leg, you know. Every state is different as far as the amount, but I promise you, it isn't a state that I could go to where I feel like, oh, that's too much. I'm not going to be able to do that. I absolutely can, because some people, they spend their money on things that aren't getting them anywhere, aren't doing anything for them. But starting my LLC was the best thing I probably ever could have done, because it put me in position where I was able to start working for myself.
So you're investing back, you're giving back, you're paying it forward to help other youth out of the situation you once were in.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it opens doors, it opens your eyes.
Yeah. Awesome. So what would your advice be to teachers that might listen to this today, who are working with students in some pretty maybe even depressing situations, home lives? How would you advise them on approaching their students and working with them?
Ask questions and be genuine. Like, ask questions where you legitimately want to know the answer, and you want to see if there is a way that you can serve them, where you can help them with that situation that they're dealing with. Because many, and I've said it before, many people are living in triple black. You know, you don't know that you don't know that you don't know. So it's not so much that these educators don't care or they don't like the students. You know, they got into the industry of education because they legitimately want to help students. But sometimes when they're in a space where they feel like they don't understand the students that they're working with, it's like fight or flight. It's easier just to walk away and just be like, I'm just not going to give this student as much attention as I would give another one because I don't understand you. I don't get it. I don't know why you want to wear your hairstyle like that. I don't know why you want to dress like that. And it's off-putting to you, right? I'd say ask questions. Ask what is their thought process behind a thing? And then the student would be more open to talking to you about their home life and different things like that, because it's like, you know, you're not judging me. You're letting me be me. You're letting me be myself. So now I can feel comfortable with talking to you and just, you know, divulging some information and things like that. Yeah, you have to have a conversation. You got to talk to them. You got to ask questions. You got to make them feel like you legitimately are there for them. And watch how they'll start to open up. It might take time, but, you know, you got to apply pressure until the floodgates break.
So what do you have on your horizon? What are your new goals you're reaching for?
I have two more books that I'm working on. I've already have the blueprint for both of the books, but I need to actually, you know, write it all out, you know, make sure I get it together. And I'm taking my time with this one. The first book I wrote it in 2 weeks, and I published it in less than 6 months. But this one, I want to take my time, and I want to make the first book specific to students and reverse engineer my success in the classroom. With me being able to get my master's degree, I want the students to be able to read the book, and then if they want to attain a degree in college, they'll be able to do that because I'm giving them the steps that I took. And then The second book is more like a motivational self-help book for adults, but you know, kids could read it too. But I see it more as for adults. So the book that is for the students, that is actually called Hope is My Superpower, right? And there are like 10 principles to helping students to tie their education into their dreams and helping educators to connect with the hearts and minds of their students. And whereas the other book, which is for the adults, you know, that self-help book, that one is called Willpower Over Skill Power.
So talk about your website. What is it so listeners can go there?
Yeah. So the website, I'm very easy to find. I tell people all the time, if you can't find me, you are not trying. So the website is www.bradbutler2.com. That is spelled Brad, B-R-A-D, Butler, B-U-T-L-E-R, the2.com. And if you go to Google and type in Brad Butler the second, I promise you're going to be able to find me.
So what is your, it's Pain, Passion, Purpose is the book you have now?
Yes, the book that's out now, that's, yeah, that book has been out since I think 2017. Pain, Passion, Purpose is literally just the book about my life. And somewhere along the line, I just got this idea to write this book and talk about my life and everything that led me to become a motivational speaker, led me to where I'm currently at. And then within the book, I think it's a good read because I'm introducing characters with each chapter. And I had this idea that with each chapter, I'm getting older. And with each chapter, there's a new character that's just kind of dedicated to. As it, you know, it goes into, and then as I get older, and then it just kind of breaks off, and then, you know, the story is just kind of all about me growing and, you know, becoming the man that I am today, or what led me to become the man that I am today. So, yeah, it's kind of like a, I wouldn't say a passion project, but it was, there was definitely a lot of passion that was behind it, where I felt like I really needed to get it out there, and I didn't want anybody telling my family story but me.
So who would you be your audience for the most part? Like, do you have a large spread of people in different areas and ages that have read it? Or do you have one more than another?
That has read the book? I would say probably some middle schools. I wouldn't say all, but there are some middle schools that find that, yeah, that it's appropriate for their school. Definitely high school, college students. Even some of the educators, just to get into the mind of a student who is in special ed classes. For anyone who's listening to this right now, there is a part in the book where I talk about the best day in special ed classes and the worst day in special ed classes. And I know that automatically is like one of the things that, like, I want to read that. I want to know what your best day and your worst day was in special ed classes. So it's cool, you know, just to go down memory lane and reminisce sometimes. Because you get to see where you started and where you're at now. And the funny thing about it is with my mentors, you know, Dr. Eric Thomas, Jeremy Anderson, Inky Johnson, Coach Crumpler, Chris Crumpler, like some of the people who have been in my life and coached me and gotten me to where I'm currently at today, they constantly remind me that this isn't it. This is like the tip of the iceberg for you, Brad. You're like, you're just getting started. And I'm like, wow. I can only imagine what's going to be coming, you know, down in her, you know, in the horizon for me.
So is the book on Amazon, or how can folks get it?
Yeah, they can grab the book on Amazon.com. Of course, you can go to the website and you can grab it there. So, you know, you can also leave me a review, you know, once you actually get the book, and if you actually like the book, and, you know, give us a 5-star rating, that would be great.
Is it on Kindle, like on Amazon? Can you get a digital version, or is it just the hardback or paperback of it?
No, there actually is the digital version as well. So it is as an ebook as well. So,
and have you thought about doing an Audible book?
I have thought about it. I just haven't gotten around to sitting down and sitting still and actually doing the audio version of it. But that is something that I probably need to do.
Well, we've enjoyed having you here. It's great. Thank you for taking the time. And everybody, you're going to have to, if you're listening, you need to get the book and find out what his best day and his worst day was. We're not going to give it away. You got to get the book and read it to find out. And we'll look for those other two books. So we can find you on Facebook. You've got a YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
So look up Brad Butler 2 or the second, And on here on Facebook, it is Brad Butler, Roman numeral 2.
Yep, so yep. Just capital I.
It's like capital I's. And okay, so where do you go next? Do you have somewhere you're going?
I'm actually speaking for the Special Olympics next. So
ooh,
next week.
Nice.
Yep, I have Special Olympics, and then I have some more work down the pipeline. Some stuff I can't say yet. They have to keep it under wraps until mm-hmm. it's time. And then, but you know, when the flyer comes out, it's like, oh, okay, there we go. But what's next for me is, you know, whomever is calling, you know, I got to go back home and check with, you know, my assistant and see, okay, well, what else do we have? What's coming up next? What do I need to get ready for? And I'm looking forward to any and every opportunity that comes up because I want to impact as many people as I possibly can. And prayerfully, my story will be able to touch the hearts and minds of many educators, many students, and just many people in general and be that thing, that kind of beacon of light. And I've told people before that I just got tired of, like, seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I wanted to be the light at the end of the tunnel.
Nice. So I'm going to ask you one last question. I used to do a podcast a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And when I did it, I would ask my guests this question. And I never told them ahead I was going to ask it. But if you had one word of wisdom or advice to people out there that you've learned in your life that you'd like to share, what would it be?
Is that one word of advice?
Not one word, but one thought or one phrase or one thing that you feel like really is an important thing you've learned that would be a beneficial thing to share.
Well, the motto that I live by, and I say it all the time, is make your next day your best day. Why? Because the work you've done today is not enough to get you through tomorrow.
Awesome. Thank you, Brad. Best of luck to you and all that you're doing, and we'll look for more books, and you'll have to come back and share with us again another time.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
The Oregon Transition Podcast is brought to you by the TTAN, the Transition Technical Assistance Network, with the support from Vocational Rehabilitation and Oregon Department of Education.
All views and opinions expressed in the podcast are those of the individual, not the supporting agencies.
The Oregon Transition Podcast is produced by
Mandy Younger,
Josh Barber,
Jody Johnson,
and the Podfather,
Lon Thornburg.
Additional interviews are brought to you by the members of the TTAN.
Our theme music was composed by former student Boone Richter out of Brownsville, Oregon.
Additional music provided by Lon Thornburg.
For additional questions, comments, or suggestions, please email us at OregonTransitionPodcast@gmail.com.
For the latest OTP news, connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.